He is risen. He is risen indeed, and I am excited. Welcome to our Easter service this April 12th, Life Creek Church. I'm Pastor Ron, and I'm so glad you're watching and hopefully worshiping with us as our church meets from our home because of the coronavirus, COVID-19. But the church, the doors are not shut, the doors are not locked, because that is just a building. We are the church, and the church is still open, and we are still worshiping this morning, and hallelujah for the Easter celebration. Our Jesus is alive, and he is risen. And I want to share with you some scriptures today, and I'm going to do a lot of PowerPoint, because I want this sermon to be succinct and for us to have an understanding of what was happening on Easter, what was happening with our Jesus. Not just that he was opening the way to heaven, that is very much it, but also he was coming as king, and the resurrection is inauguration day to his kingdom. So let me share with you this morning, he has risen, and that is the name of our sermon. We are going to just worship today. This is our anchor verse, Matthew 28, verse 6. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Praise the Lord. He has risen. This is Resurrection Day. The tomb is empty. Jesus has conquered death. This is the day that Jesus has been crowned king. Hallelujah. On Good Friday, we had a tenebrae service where Jesus was laid in the tomb. But now he is raised. And what is this story? This is the greatest story ever told. Jesus has come bringing a new exodus that set us free from slavery to sin, a new way of God being with us, not restrained in a temple of brick or wood, but his temple is in us. God is with us. And Jesus came bringing a new community of his people, what it means to be the people of God. He has come so that we will be the people of God, and he will be our God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the celebration of your resurrection, of this Easter day. Lord God, we just ask you to be resurrected even in our hearts today as we read your word, as we understand what it is that you have done for us. Be alive again and again and again in our hearts. Let that flame burn within us. Lord, come real today. Father, we just pray against this virus in the name of Jesus. We say that it is dead and that you are alive in this earth. Lord, we ask you to bring your kingdom to heal, to deliver, and to save, to rescue, Lord. We thank you for this. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who are accustomed to listening to me preach, I will say that you know that I could go on all day about this. I can preach from the morning till night, till we all fall asleep, on what Jesus has done. And that is what I have been doing. We have been together since December, and I have preached all along the messages of Jesus, the parables of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, what Jesus has been doing in this earth as he brings his kingdom to us. So I want to review a little bit of that, but we're going on from that as well. So let's go to the scriptures. Jesus has come as king. He is king over Satan. We learned this when we talked about the temptation of Jesus, the 40 days in the wilderness, and how Jesus defeated Satan with the word. He is king over sin. Jesus was without sin, and he has given us freedom from sin, and only he can give that. Only he can take away the guilt and stain of sin. And that is what he has come to do. Now he is king over sin. He is king over the world systems. We talked about how Jesus faced off with Pilate. And in that moment, he said, "There is no authority given to you, but the Father gave it to you." No, I am laying down my life. And that is how Jesus went to his death. He laid it down. It wasn't taken from him. And he is king over death. And today we see that he has resurrected and become king over death. Jesus is Lord. Matthew 4:23. You remember we started with this. "And he went throughout all Galilee," this is Jesus, "teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people." When the kingdom of God comes, it comes in power. And Jesus preached the kingdom and he healed every disease. Diseases are not of the kingdom. When we are in the kingdom of God, we experience his healing, his deliverance. That is what salvation is, and the salvation of our souls from sin. Through his conquering of death, his kingdom is established. That is what this day does. We need to remember that the resurrection is very important to our faith. It is the significance comes in that he conquered death and established his kingdom. He proved that he is king. Through his death, he also fully conquered Satan. And Satan has no rule over him. You may remember that during the time of that temptation, Satan offered to him the kingdoms of the world, but he didn't take it. But now he says, "I've conquered. I've conquered the world. I've conquered death." Let's read Luke 9:27. "I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." In this passage, Jesus said that there were people there among him, with him, that would not die, would not taste death until the kingdom of God was established. Now, the reason this scripture is important is because Jesus came preaching the kingdom, and he said the kingdom of God is at hand. But he didn't remove the kingdom when he died. He said that there are some standing here who will not taste death. They won't die until they see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is established, inaugurated at the death of Jesus. Paul puts this well in Ephesians 1:16 through 23. He says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened." Enlighten us, Lord, in our hearts, "that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." And look how he is seated. "Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Notice that Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father. He is seated. This is how you enthrone a king. He has become king. He sat down. It is done. And he sat in his throne. And where is he? Far above all dominion and power. Every name that can be named. You see, he has defeated Satan. He has gained the kingdoms of this world from Satan, without listening to Satan and what Satan was tempting him with. Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has sent the Holy Spirit to be within us as a comforter, as our guide to teach us more about Jesus, and as God with us. So his kingdom is with us. Now, I'm going to explain what that looks like in a little bit, but I don't want to leave you just there with Jesus seated. What does that mean to us? But God, being rich in mercy, this is Ephesians chapter 2, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, when we were dead in our sins, God has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable richness of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. God has given us this gift, this salvation, and seated us together with Christ. He is king, but we are in his kingdom. He has put us over all things as well. What a great day that is. And that happened on Resurrection Day. Jesus is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. We are in Jesus. We are made one with him. He prayed this in John. Let's continue to John chapter 17, verses 12 through 16. Now, this is the prayer of Jesus. He's praying and he says, while I was with them, I kept them in your name. Now, these are the disciples he's referring to, who you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction. That would be Judas. That the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. In another part of this prayer, Jesus actually prays for us, for those who are far off, he says. Those in the future, that's us. He's praying for us that same prayer, that we would be kept from the evil one, not removed from the world. This creates a strange dynamic, doesn't it? I mean, I am telling you that Jesus is king. And when Jesus is king, we are healed, because his kingdom, there is no sickness in his kingdom. There is no sin in his kingdom. Yet, there are times when we are sick and we're fighting this virus right now. And we're fighting it for ourselves. We're fighting it for our loved ones. We're fighting it for even those in the world and saying, you don't have the authority, virus. Yet people fall sick. Yet we sin. We sin every day. What is this strange tension that is going on? If we're in God's kingdom, how can we sin? Yeah, but we're in this world. And that is what Jesus was praying. He was praying not to take us out of this world, not to remove us at this time, but that we would be in this world, but not of it. We would be in this world, but not subject to the evil one, kept from the evil one. Here's this crazy tension that's going on. In the theological world, this is known as the already, but not yet. You may have heard this term before, and I want to explain it further to you, but let me just first express it this way. Jesus says he was saved. Paul. Paul says he was saved. And he says, I am being saved. And he says, I will be saved. All of these things are true. How are they all true? It is a strange dynamic. We are saved. We are saved when we receive Jesus to eternal life. Yet we're going to die. There's this tension of the already saved, already in the kingdom of God, but not yet. All of this starts with the resurrection. It starts for all of us. Now, for Jesus, it was already happening while he was in the world. 1 Corinthians 15:14 reminds us, though, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. You cannot have this kingdom, this Christianity, without the resurrection. The resurrection is what demonstrates proof that Jesus has overcome the world. Death is a thing within the world, but Jesus overcomes it. He inaugurates his kingdom in this way. He becomes king. See, he is king of death. If there is no resurrection, he is not the king over death. He would have just been a good man preaching a good philosophy, and it would have ended. But it didn't end. And we've seen that in the road to Emmaus when he is resurrected. We talked about this in January, and he's walking down the road, and two people who saw him died, they don't understand what has happened. And Jesus stops to explain it and explain what has happened. And by this resurrection, he has proclaimed this new exodus that we can experience the kingdom of God delivered from and out of slavery and sin to slavery and into his kingdom, this kingdom of light. Yet we know we still experience this darkness. Let's take a look at what I mean by the already but not yet, and how it has been proclaimed throughout the Bible. There are these indications. Remember, when Abraham, in Genesis, Abraham was childless, God proclaimed him the father of nations, delivering him a promise that he would be this father of nations, and that his offspring would be like the sand on the shore, so numerous. And he proclaimed this when he was yet childless. He proclaimed it already, but it did not happen. It wasn't yet. Think about David. David was anointed by Samuel as king. But yet Saul was still on the throne. And David actually had to flee and he gathered people with him, but he was anointed as king, but he wasn't king yet. He was already king, but not yet. Saul represented this king of the world kind of thing. He was king over the nation, a very worldly king. He wasn't a spiritual man, but here came David, and David was anointed as king, yet he wasn't on the throne as of yet. When Israel returned to the promised land, this was predicted. It was a prophecy that after 70 years of being in Babylon, that they would return to the promised land, and they did. They returned from exile, but not completely. They remained, in a sense, in exile because they were not free. Jesus was born into the Roman Empire. The Romans were a secular, worldly nation, empire, that had authority over Israel, over the spiritual. The spiritual world was being returned, but it wasn't completely there. It was already there, but not yet. So these are examples of this already, but not yet, that happened. You have to ask the question, well, why not? Why did God leave us? Why did he leave us in this worldly kingdom? Why weren't we taken out? Or why wasn't God's kingdom in its fullness brought to the earth on Resurrection Day? To this, we go back to a very popular verse, one of the most popular verses in the Bible, in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But let's continue and read verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Let me explain this to you. God did not send Jesus to condemn the world. If at the resurrection moment, Jesus would have brought the fullness of his kingdom, the completeness, if that we would have moved into eternal life right then, where would we be? You and I would not be a part of it. There were only a few numbers of Jewish people that were part of following Jesus, that had faith, that believed and followed after him. So what does that mean for the rest of us? It would have condemned us. It would have condemned this world. We would have perished. Our people would have perished. Our ancestors would have perished. This is pointed out in some of the parables as well. When the nets come up, and there are good fish and bad fish in it. Or when the wheat and the tares, and Jesus says, you know, wait a minute, let's not destroy them, because you would destroy some of the good wheat along with the tares. There are these parables that talk about condemning, really. It would have been the condemnation of the nations. Abraham would not have been the father of nations, only the Jewish nation, because no one would have come to faith in Jesus Christ. This is this already but not yet tension, and the reason why we're here as believers. We are here to bring more into the kingdom, to set them free as well. So now, how do you enter the kingdom? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's that resurrection, right? If you confess with your mouth, Jesus, you are Lord, you are King, you are my leader, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What are we being saved from? Saved from the condemnation of this world. This is the ultimate big picture plan that God had laid out. When Adam sinned, he broke the relationship with God. And this is how God is restoring it. You might ask, well, why is there no proof? Where's the actual proof in this? Why is it faith that brings me to this conclusion? Well, think about how Adam sinned. Instead of trusting and believing in what God had said, he believed a lie. He believed Satan. And because he doubted God's word and did not have faith in God, he turned away from God. How do we come back to God? We have faith in God and his word. We believe and confess it with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, but to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is how we come to Jesus. This is how we come to God's kingdom. We believe what he has said, and we are restored to that relationship. We believe that he died to pay the price for our sins, to be over sin. How does that work? Jesus took our sin. It isn't something that he put in a backpack and threw over his back. No, he took it from us when we ask him to forgive us. We say, Lord, we have sinned. We've missed it. And he says, okay. And he throws it as far as the east is from the west. That's what the scripture says. So he remembers it no more. If that sin is not held against us by God, then we don't have to pay for it. Because God is king. He is king over Satan. He defeats Satan. He stood there and said, give it all to me, Satan. Give me all of the sin. And Satan laid all of the sin of mankind on him, and he just took it and said, it's gone. I forgive it. I forgive the past sin. I forgive the present sin. I forgive future sin. If you believe, you are forgiven. And he demonstrates it, and he raises from the dead, says, I'm king. No authority has been given except that God has given it, and I am now over all authority. And he sits down. It's done. It's resurrection day. Glory to God. I want to share one more scripture with you. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 20. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transformed us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. We have shared this. I have reflection coming in there, sorry. We have shared this from the beginning of what Jesus has been doing. Hallelujah. Do you see the big picture of what's going on? What the aims of Jesus were? All of the things that he has done for the fullness, the completeness to be revealed, the completeness of his kingdom. He is king. Let's pray. If you have not received Jesus as king, if you have not received him as Lord, but now you understand how this has worked and you believe, pray with me. Pray with me this prayer. And if you are already a Christian, well, then I ask you to renew it right now. Let Jesus come alive again within us. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord, and confess our sins. Father, forgive us for the sins we have done and those sins that we have left undone. Forgive us for the sins we don't even know and recognize that we have done. Your forgiveness is so complete and so great. And Lord, we recognize and believe and confess with our mouths that you are Lord and that you have raised from the dead. Lord, your promise is that we are saved. We are saved from the condemnation. We are saved from sin. We are saved from Satan. And we have become the community, the people of God. Lord, let us see your kingdom around us. Let us bring your kingdom to others because you are with us. Your kingdom is in us. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill my mouth. Give me boldness to speak, to share this greatness of your kingdom with others, to share this resurrection day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Share this with someone else. Share it so that it becomes real to you. Go back. Go through the words again. Study it in your Bible. Highlight it. It's okay to write in your Bible. Do that. Write in your Bible and say, this is what Jesus has done. This is what Resurrection Day means. He is my King and my Lord. Amen. Happy Easter. May God resurrect us out of our homes that we are in because of this virus. May he bring us out and help us to touch others with his message. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.